Direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, we are so grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace. And this week on Abounding Grace, we're looking at a very fascinating section of Scripture in Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus curses the fig tree. And let me just read that little section there. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" What a fascinating section, because it's in the midst of all of these events that are happening in this very, very tense time of Jesus's ministry in the last week of his life here on earth, where he had just entered in the triumphal entry. People had been shouting, laying palm branches down, and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then, of course, we know that he would do two symbolic things. He would cleanse the temple. They had made it a den of thieves, and then he would curse the fig tree. Why? Why, my friends, is Jesus doing this? Why is he cleansing the temple, and why is he cursing the fig tree? That's what I want to take up with you on Abounding Grace, as I believe this will be one of the most important studies to understand God's program of redemption and how Israel fits into that great question and that great issue. In this program of redemption, what does Matthew 21 tell us about the nation of Israel? Well, as we open that question, as we begin with that this week, it really is a fascinating section to study because it is so tense. I have been extremely moved on the world scene about how tense everything is right now, where you have fighting and nations in chaos and riots taking place and economies tanking and bomb threats are at an all-time high. Earthquakes in various places are wiping out thousands. It is an incredibly tense time on the world scene, and everyone's teeth are being set on the edge. Makes me wonder, is the Lord about to return? I mean, things are really falling apart and nothing seems to be stable. It only seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And all of this comes after a long period of calm, comfortability, complacency. If you know that feeling that I've just described this morning, as we come to this text, well, then you have a good sense of the moment and the scene that is before us here in Matthew chapter 29. Judgment is imminent on Israel for rejecting their Messiah. And now it all culminates in the great week of Jesus's death. Everything now is coming to an end. And as we study this, we are in amazement at the reality that is before us. How in the world could the Messiah come and that whole nation reject him? Years of anticipation, years of eager waiting, years of tribulation, all in utter expectation that the Messiah would come, and what a day of deliverance it would be for Israel. He would then, right to their minds, restore the kingdom back to Israel. And yet Jesus comes, and he's experienced nothing but rejection. In fact, in Matthew chapter 21, in this section that we're considering, we have the greatest section of hostility presented against our Lord. And now Jesus responds to it. Now Jesus gives the answer to national Israel. Now Jesus gives God's plan for Israel because of their rejection of him. Now, with all this in mind, the text is really posing certain questions to us this morning. And I want to answer these questions that are really important to see here. And the general question that we're going to get at in light of this fig tree is, how could a fruit tree have so many leaves and no fruit? And what would you do if you had planted a vineyard, you had planted in that vineyard a beautiful fruit tree, and you tended to it, and you nourished it, and you cared for it, and it never bore any fruit? If you can answer that question, you understand exactly what the Lord is teaching you this morning in Matthew chapter 21. So let's look at that with this in mind. At this point, Jesus has made what is called his triumphal entry. It's evening, he returns to Bethany, and in the morning he comes back to Jerusalem to cleanse the temple. That is how at least Mark chronologically presents it. And now he is on his way. What we read here in Matthew is that Jesus was hungry. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. Now, what a scene. Disciples are standing there. They see this beautiful fig tree along the road. Jesus was expecting to eat figs from this. He was hungry. Fig trees are common in Israel, but Jesus comes to this one, this blooming fig tree along the road. It only had leaves, we read. Jesus sees this, comes up to it hungry, desires to eat, can't eat, no fruit, and immediately he curses it. He kills the tree. He curses the tree, saying, "You're done, you're dead." And immediately the thing rots away right in front of their eyes. Can you imagine seeing that? And now, according to Mark, he heads into the temple to cleanse the temple. Two very symbolic acts. He curses the fig tree and cleanses the temple. Now, my friends, it would be scriptural abuse to simply think that Jesus irrationally got mad at a tree and punished it because it failed to give him food. Clearly, something much more is going on here. It has a vital, deeper meaning that I believe is crucial to understand everything that here follows in the events that precede the cross. You see, these fig trees are commonly throughout Palestine, and they had come to represent throughout the Old Testament Israel herself. In fact, judgment upon Israel in the Old Testament was often compared to the destruction of the fig tree. Let me give you a few verses to support that claim. Jeremiah 8, verse 13, "I will surely consume them," speaking of Israel, says the Lord, "no grape shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade." Hosea 9, 10, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its fruit season, first season. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves to that shame. They became an abomination like the thing they loved." All throughout the Old Testament, Israel was often compared and represented as the fig tree. And here we see the direct fulfillment of Micah chapter 7. Jesus is cursing the fig tree. It has no fruit. Think of Micah 7, verse 1. "Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There's no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there's no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net." Now, do you see the deeper meaning here? Jesus had just come into Jerusalem, and the Jews were indignant that the children were crying out in the temple, "Hosanna, son of David in the highest." Israel had rejected her Messiah. That had been the long history already since Jesus had been here on the earth. And now Jesus walks up to this symbol of Israel, the fig tree, and curses it. This is how Matthew's presenting the order. Although Mark gives it chronologically, Matthew presents it this way to show the great theological implication of this. Jesus walks up to the symbol of Israel, the fig tree, and curses it, saying, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." It was a horrid, symbolic indictment against the nation of Israel. Now, this is not the only time this happened. In Luke 13, we read this. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and came seeking fruit on it, and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it, and if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." Now, the meaning is this. Jesus had come, and his own, Israel, did not receive him. And in this incident, he was saying that he came to a tree that was full of green leaves, but there was no fruit. And the disciples are shocked at this. It begs the question, how could you have so many leaves and no fruit on a fruit tree like this? And that is the astonishing factor that is here emphasized in the text. Israel rejected her Messiah, and Jesus, my friends, just made a clean, fast break with Judaism forever. And he says it openly here. He says, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." We'll unpack that this week. We'll look at that this week. But what a statement. He is saying that national Israel, he had just cursed the fig tree, the very symbol of national Israel. So we're seeing the consequences of unbelief. We're seeing the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ. And you know the New Testament, and there are so many Bible teachers out there. Aren't you amazed on the radio and everywhere how obsessed everyone is with Israel? And you know, the striking thing is, we talk about Israel being the apple of God's eye, and we look for all these things to happen, and Christians send their money over there to rebuild the temple and do all these things. And have they thought through the implications of this? They are supporting Israel in her unbelief. It's an astonishing thing. And do they want to bring back sacrifice and offering? Well, that would be the abomination that causes desolation. Israel rejected her Messiah, and Jesus walks up to the symbol of it here in Matthew chapter 21 and curses it, saying, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And Paul applied it that way, saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, and 3, that there is still, in 2 Corinthians, that there is still a veil over their hearts when Moses is read, so that they cannot see Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says they are before us as an example of what unbelief looks like, so that everyone's mouth might be stopped. And Paul's going to say that the gospel has now opened to all without distinction. He's done on that national level. It's open to Jew or Greek, male and female, slave and free, for we are one in Christ. Those distinctions are broken down. The gospel's opened. But Israel is a reminder and an open testimony, an open example of where unbelief will land you. And so, dear friend, ensure that you have come to Jesus Christ. Bound in Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Or you could give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.